B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
With Devontae out and then Geronimo goes down, you know, we finally get Allen in the game. And that's what he does. He's been doing it in practice a bunch. Good to see him finally get an opportunity to make some big plays.
I mean, for those receivers, they know that they have to earn your trust. Like you said, Devontae was out. You had some injuries. There were some balls that were dropped. Alan Lazard hadn't caught a touchdown pass since he was in college. What made you have so much trust in him?
As I see in practice, I sit next to him in meetings. I see the study habits. I see the preparation. He's been waiting for an opportunity. And finally, he got one, and he played how I expect him to play. I'm very proud of him.
Huh. So, let's see. Where could you be going with this?
I wonder where he's going with this.
I wonder what... Huh. Wait, this knocked me over. So you're saying an established star quarterback was down some established trusted weapons and some kids from the bottom of the roster were forced into the lineup and Aaron Rodgers, instead of dumping all over them and ignoring them, actually supported them, rooted for them, trusted them, threw them the ball, and won a big ball game. Huh.
Yeah, but Felger, he saw it in practice. Maybe Brady didn't see it.
This is what I'm talking about. So that's Aaron Rodgers on Allen Lazard, who you've never heard of, and why would you have? Undrafted rookie free agent from 2 years ago, was on the Jacksonville practice squad, signed late, and I just know this because I looked it up. Signed late last year by the Packers, barely got a sniff, was cut coming out of training camp.
He was cut, actually, midway through training camp, like the middle of August, and then he wasn't brought back for another month after that. September 19th, he was brought back to the Green Bay Packers squad.
Just a nobody. Just a nobody's nobody on the bottom of the roster who the star quarterback practiced with, sat next to in meetings, learned to appreciate his ethic and his preparation, and trusted and rooted for him and relied on him in a big game when it mattered. Interesting.
Were they both at OTAs?
Interesting. They must have been. Yeah, he was on the Packers roster over the offseason. So, huh. Because I'm so used to, well, I don't know. Well, juxtapose Aaron Rodgers there, you know, with his support for Allen Lazard compared to, Tom Brady on his young tight ends. You heard Tom Brady on his young tight ends last week? What do you say about that, Jimmy?
This was a good one.
It's just I'm the quarterback, so, you know, I don't make those decisions. And I'm, you know, who's ever out there, that's who I got to play with.
So that's Brady on his young guys, his young tight ends. How about the whole thing? You know, Aaron Rodgers was talking there about practicing with Allen Lazard and sitting next to him in team meetings and seeing the preparation and building a trust. Does Tom Brady believe in building a trust with his young receivers? He was asked about that over a week ago. Here's what he said on that. Remember that answer?
I think one thing we talked about here is just doing our job. So, I mean, I can do what I can do. Everyone player can do what they can do. I can't do anything for anyone else. They can't do anything for me. So a lot of it's just trust and trying to communicate trust and communication so that, you know, I've always said the best teammates are the ones that I have to think about the least because I don't want to expend my mental energy on things that aren't really my job.
Yeah, so here the quarterback can't be bothered to expending mental energy on a young kid at the bottom of the roster who needs to come along and needs a little bit of trust and support. He can't be bothered for that. But Aaron Rodgers, who I will say is not one of the good guys in the league, Aaron, who himself is kind of an asshat and not the best team guy I've ever seen, even Aaron Rodgers sort of understands the importance of that. And it comes through when it matters. And so I'm sort of playing this up a little bit, but I'm sorry.
What, really?
that was striking to me. You want to talk about being surrounded by crap. By the end of that ball game for Aaron Rodgers, I mean, the ghost of Jimmy Graham, who now sucks. I mean, but before he did catch one ball over the middle in traffic that I sort of wrote down. But before then I wrote down, is he going to go up and make a single play for this guy, meaning Rodgers? Jimmy Graham sucks. Devontae Adams is out. Geronimo Allison goes out. Jamal Adams can't catch a cold in this ball game, and so he's left throwing to something Shepard, this number 10, who fumbles a punt and then has a ball go off his face on the 1 yard line. People forget about this. The Packers are about to go up in the fourth quarter in that game, but this kid, Shepard, slips and the ball cranks off his face for a 55-yard interception going the other way. So this is what Aaron Rodgers is left with. And I don't know. He still kept throwing to him. He still kept playing. I don't know. Is this whole boo-hoo Rodgers crew in Green Bay? Well, look at what they're surrounding him with.
Oh, I bet you it exists.
Oh, yeah, it definitely does.
It probably does. All right. But either way, boy, wouldn't you know it, if you actually put in the work and the time and the practice and the offseason and the meetings and trust some of these guys, sometimes they'll come through for you. So maybe there's a lesson there for Brady. Just a thought. I don't know. I thought Rodgers coming off the field on Alan Lazard was just striking.
Yeah, look, that's a good comment. It is. It's a good comment. I give Rodgers credit for that one. I do. Like, you know, to sit there and say, well, you know, I sit next to him, I watch how hard he works. Like, you know, to me, that's how it's supposed to go. So, look.
It's not my job and you do your job and I can't do anything for you and you can't do anything for me and I don't want to waste my mental energy. That's quite a difference, wouldn't you say?
Yes, but also to defend Brady a little bit. Like, look, Rodgers had no other choice in this game. He had to throw to those guys, and Brady had no choice in this pass game, and he threw to Jacoby Myers and Gunnar Olszewski. So
give those guys a little love.
Pump their tires a little bit.
I mean, I understand Brady's spot, and he's got a case, but, you know, you can show a little bit better teammanship or leadership or whatever you want to call it. Like, you know.
Well, he did show him a little love after the game, and I'll emphasize little, but he did. You know, he said, you know, I'm happy for those guys, blah, blah, blah. But who knows? Maybe this last game is the one that sort of ignites it. And Brady goes, okay, you know, maybe now I'll stop pouting about it so much. And Jacoby did catch all four balls I threw to him. And Gunner made a couple of catches. Or maybe it was one. I don't remember. But even so, like, you know, in a spot, maybe they'll be there. Like, that's what you have to hope for because he's going to need him.
So this is something I mentioned yesterday is that, you know, I didn't realize this, but they did not. Heretofore, previously, they did not have a receiver on the practice squad. So Jacoby Myers and Gunnar Olszewski, but mostly Jacoby Myers, had to run all the scout team stuff during the week because they had nobody else. So even if Brady and Jacoby Myers wanted to build a trust, it was limited because Myers was doing most of the scout team stuff. And I said yesterday, can you sign someone to the practice squad at the receiver position so Jacoby Myers can get a little more time with Tom Brady? And wouldn't you know it, today they signed a receiver to the practice squad. So, like, sort of force Brady's hand on that. You know, Aaron Rodgers was for it. I mean, if we're up to Aaron Rodgers, of course he'd rather have Davante Adams out there and those guys. But, you know, so force Brady. Tom, this is what we got. And the kid's not that bad. Why don't you show a little faith in him and work with him and be there for him? And subsequently, at practice, why don't we have Myers working with Brady as opposed to with Cody Kessler on the scout team against our defense, where he's probably getting his ass handed to him.
They need more people on defense.
They need more people on defense.
they just don't have enough roster spots.
You're being sarcastic, obviously.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, because they got 25 guys who are going to the Pro Bowl.
Exactly. They got Michael Bennett standing on the sidelines doing nothing. Dietrich Wise, Landon Roberts, they barely play once in a while. You know, on offense, they don't even have enough guys to practice with.
It's a great point, though. They have a guy like Bennett standing on the sideline. For crying out, this team would have Julio Jones standing on the sideline.
That's right. So, Bedard, I'm still not sold on the Packers. I mean, I'll just give you a minute right here. Frustrating. I thought their tempo offensively sucked.
Yep.
Like, can you tempo in the huddle, out of the huddle? Like, every play, it felt like it was pulling teeth to get the play into Rodgers, to get Rodgers set
on
the line.
Same way under McCarthy. These guys with, like, their play callers and everything.
God.
And it's like, can we get on, move with it?
Some tempo. Every snap is inside of 5 seconds where he's, you know, calling urgently for the ball before it's a delay of game because the play's in late. They're setting up late. He's dinking around at the line of scrimmage like, move, tempo. God, it was driving me crazy. Detroit used some tempo later on in the game, and it caught the Packers. The defense couldn't adjust. They had to take a timeout once. They gave up a big play another time. They had 13 men on the field another. Because they're just not tight. So the tempo was driving me crazy. The Packers had an offsides on an extra point of themselves. They had to move it back to 38. Mason Crosby made it, but they were still doing dumb stuff. Fumbling a punt. Adams fumbling. I thought they totally read their press clippings from the week before in Dallas. They came out not ready to go. Jamal Adams had a big game in Dallas, not ready to go. Fumble, dropped a touchdown. This Shepherd kid.
Aaron Jones, you mean?
Aaron, who would I say? Whatever.
Jamal Adams.
Aaron Jones, the running back.
Yeah. I love that pass that went off his hands.
Boy, oh, my God.
Like, boy, did he look like a clown on that.
Brutal. And then again, just defensively, Greg, that sort of scared me. When Detroit hurries up to the line and hurries up the snap, the Packers are totally unprepared. Totally.
Well, I mean, that's what the Patriots used to do against, you know, Mike Pettine and Rex Ryan, is that, you know, they have all these designer blitzes and things like that. You just don't let them get set up. You hurry up to the line. They don't know what's going on. They can't get the call in, and it limits what they can do to defend you.
I will say, and just finally, my bar is so low on smart coaching in the league that I was borderline impressed that at the very last snap, Detroit was going to let Green Bay score. Yep. I thought that was a smart play. That is an obvious play, but I don't think not a lot of teams would do it because they're just not thinking that quickly. And then I was kind of impressed with the Green Bay running back who went down. I'm going to screw up his name too, running back, whatever, 30. He knows they're trying to let him score, and he goes down. So I was impressed with both. I was like, oh.
Hey, I had a question.
Both you guys are actually thinking. You're actually using your head here. I wasn't expecting that from both of you guys.
On that play, could the defense have picked up the guy and like brought him into the end zone?
It's a good question.
I don't know. I was just thinking about that during the game.
But
before he gets down, like,
can't be
get
allowed.
Him, hold
it
him
can't
up.
Be allowed.
I think it is allowed.
It was absolutely the right play to let him score. And so I'm surprised that Detroit was just, again, it's right, but so many teams don't think the right way now that when someone does, you're like, oh, you're actually thinking. And then is it Williams? Is that 30? Whoever. For him to recognize it in the moment and go down at the 1 yard line. Like, oh. You're actually both using your head here a little bit. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, you remember, Jamal Williams.
Yeah, Ahmad Bradshaw, right? The running back
for
the Giants.
Yeah, for the Giants.
Yeah, remember he tried to catch himself on the goal line and he went in. He did. He totally went in. I told you, for me, I was impressed by the Lions last night. As much as I dump on Patricia.
They were well coached last night.
They looked good last night. They did. They looked good. And, you know, they've had a pretty good year so far. They should be 3-1-1. I mean, you know,
they easily should have won last night, and they should have beat Kansas City the week before. They fumbled twice inside the 10 against Kansas City.
You know what it is? I still hold it against Patricia for wearing that stupid Roger Goodell t-shirt. I still hold it against him for that because I thought he made an ass out of himself. But the fact is, the Lions have improved.
Okay, so there's that. 10 questions with Bedard next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5. The Sport. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke's blue.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, time for 10 questions with Bedard around the league. But first, we have breaking news.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
From both Ian Rappaport and Mike Giardi of NFL Network, Patriots veteran defensive lineman Michael Bennett has been suspended 1 week by the team for conduct detrimental. He was not at practice today.
Okay, so... You knew something was up with this guy. Now, just to clarify, when I first heard it, I'm like, oh, but he still played. The game was Thursday night, Dodo Felger. So he was benched again on Thursday. His playing time has gone way down. It's 24 snaps 3 weeks ago to 14 2 weeks ago to 11 snaps on Thursday night, only three of which were in the first half. So he basically only played garbage time Thursday night. He's on the bench for most of these ball games now. So after the Thursday night game, Friday morning, something happens?
What, a little more? Well, Jordan Schultz of Schultz Report from ESPN, either way, just spoke with defensive end Michael Bennett, who provided this statement on his one-week suspension. On Friday, I had a philosophical disagreement with my position coach that has led to my suspension. I apologize to my teammates for any distraction this may have caused.
Okay, his position coach is Brett Bielema?
Correct.
Who's a tool bag.
Yeah.
And so he told Bielema to go F himself or something.
Yeah. Yep.
And so he's suspended for a week. Thoughts? Can I give you one?
Go ahead.
Okay, so it's not going to matter because you're still really good and the AFC is down. But this is looking like another botched personnel move by Belichick this offseason. And I'm going to add it to the Antonio Brown thing. And that is now a lot of money out the door for two guys who've given you squat, who've mostly given you nothing but headaches. And Antonio Brown was a real migraine and a real like black mark on you, like a real smudge on you. That thing. Bennett has been sort of lower key, but he's $6.5 million, $8.5 million. You gave him guaranteed dough, millions of dollars to be the guy. And he's been pretty much a slug since he's gotten here. And just this is from where I stand. All I see him is him just sort of
when he's been in there, he's been very productive.
So why isn't he in there? How come I only see him slouching on the sidelines?
I don't know, because they have 8 billion people on defense.
Okay, so he doesn't play, and now he's not halfway through the season, and he's getting into it with the coach, and he's getting suspended. Doesn't feel to me like a personnel move that's really worked out for you. And it's big money, and you put it next to the Antonio Brown thing, boy, 0 for 2 so far.
Huge. I mean, huge mistake. And again, I think it's as much a mistake of trying to force a guy to play in a system that doesn't maximize his strengths. We sit there and we say about Bill all the time, Bill's a great coach. Bill gets the most out of his players. When you get a guy like this and you don't get the most out of him, isn't it the opposite?
Oh, and I'm telling you, like, you couldn't have seen it coming with this guy a little bit. How many teams? He's a tremendous ball player. How many teams has he been on? How many teams has he been on? Like five?
I think it is. It's at least
Tampa,
four
Seattle,
now.
Philly, you.
It's four yeah. now.
Was
yeah.
there someone else in there? I mean, a guy.
Five when he gets traded in the next week.
A guy who's that good? Are you bouncing around to four teams like that?
I told you.
I'll tell you why he bounces around, because he's a pain in the balls, this guy. And so, well, no, but he'll fit in here because we're the Patriots. And turns out, just like Antonio Brown, not so much.
Yeah, I still didn't mind the move at the time because they lost Flowers. I didn't mind it. But that said, I said this to you yesterday. He won't see the roster for the Cleveland game. I mean, he's out for the Jets. That's out, right? I don't think he's coming back. I'd be willing to bet they move him before this thing's over.
Well, who's going to take him? So now this is a problem. I wonder if you can move the contract. Who's going to take him? He's got, I'll look it back up. I did this for Bedard last week when he asked me to come up with salary cap space. I did it in one commercial break with a cocktail napkin. I came back with Antonio.
How about Pete?
With Michael Bennett. But, you know, who's going to take, right, someone's going to want to take this guy on now because
Philly doesn't want him back. I'll tell you that much.
Seattle.
And Philly needs help desperately, and they don't even want him back because they've gotten a whiff of this guy's act.
You know who could use him, and maybe Bill says something to him, is Patricia. I mean, if you looked at the Lions pass rush last night, they don't have much. They need help. And bring Amendola back. Like, he had one target last night. One.
Michael Bennett for Danny Amendola.
Yep. I would do it.
Me too.
I would do it. So again, I throw out Seattle just as a, I think the Seattle defense needs a little help. Pete would take him back. You kidding me? In a second.
Yeah, he would.
Oh, Pete? Pete would come over here and pick him up. Good God. Absolutely he would. So, but it would be a team like that. Like a team like Baltimore. You know, someone that borders on recklessness anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. So we had that breaking news. Michael Bennett suspended for this week's game at the Jets on Monday Night Football. Get your thoughts on that. We have 10 questions around the league. We'll do five here, five the next segment because we had to do the Michael Bennett thing. But Jimmy, what are our buzzer options, please?
We're going to start, you know, just roading, plowing you.
Well said, Mass.
If I'm the players, I pound it every chance I get.
Love it.
I'm comfortable in suckitude.
Next.
Felger, you took it out of my mouth.
Now let me put it right back in your mouth. Next. I don't like these guys. You don't win with these guys. No, 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 1,000 times no. That's for the Patriots and Odell Beckham. Don't want them. Next.
Jared Goff has made 42 bad throws this season. most of any QB this season. He sucks and blows.
Yeah, that's Mike. Sorry, that's Carmine. Next.
Andrew Friedman is terrible. We never wanted him.
Okay, there we go. We good?
Tom Brady. Tom.
Okay, so there we go. Number 10, Greg. Who would you rather have? Got to pick one. And these guys weigh in as well, obviously. Jason Garrett or Mike Tomlin?
The Bullet. No, but I mean, really, I'd rather.
I get it.
Oh,
I can't with either of those.
Jason Garrett or Mike Tomlin. Pick one.
I'll go with Garrett, I guess, because.
Oh, wrong answer. Tomlin and a runaway.
Tomlin's terrible.
Tomlin's not at least close. Won something.
Exactly.
Yeah, with other people's players.
Tomlin's so Tomlin.
The most talented team in the league.
At least Tomlin cares.
Cowboys stink.
Tomlin's winning with his third string QB now. You do that to Dallas, they're running for the number one pick. Tomlin blows him away. Oh, God, Garrett sucks.
Yeah, it's Tomlin. Garrett's a dumb clapping mannequin. He's a clapper. I hate the clappers.
Oh, the clappers are the worst. All right, you know what? That was a good question by me. Next.
Yeah. We're going to start, you know, just roading, plowing you.
That's really a good one. Number 9, your thoughts on the new Jets uniform?
I don't like them. I like the classic. I like the green. It's a little bit duller. This one, I don't like the green. It's like fluorescent. It's like puke looking. But the only good thing about it is that it stands out, so you know when Jets fans are coming. They're easily identifiable. You can run away.
The ones where they wear the black? Oh, my God, I love those. I love those. I think they're awesome. Oh, I like the Jets' new unis.
I like them, and I love the helmet. And the other ones were a little too boring. I'm into these uniforms.
Sucks and blows. They have one of the few. It's about the only classy thing you could say about that team and that franchise was their uniforms. Those classic 1960 eras with the belt and the it was a classy uniform. The only classy thing you could say about the Jets were their freaking threads. These new things, oh, they suck and they blow. Next.
From the players, I pound it every chance I get.
Number 8, if Kyle Allen takes over permanently in Carolina, where would be a good landing spot for Cam Newton? And let's sex this up a little bit.
Okay.
Whoa.
Ooh.
If you're Carolina, how about you trade him in the next 2 weeks?
No question.
And get something for your stretch run. You go with Kyle Allen. You give someone else a court. Where should Cam Newton be traded?
Chicago.
Good one.
I was going to go Buffalo, but I think that Nagy would do a little bit of a better job coaching up Newton.
Excellent. I was going to go Buffalo, too. It's Chicago.
Pittsburgh.
Ooh.
Pittsburgh.
Good one.
On Roethlisberger's out, but they had a big, strong QB.
He can't operate that offense.
Pittsburgh. I don't care.
Chuck and Duck, just go back and huck it.
Can I give you another one? Go ahead, Murray, go.
Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, that's who I was going to go with.
Great defense. They have a mobile quarterback, except theirs is terrible. Yeah, but still, at least, you know, it's still the South. Again, good defense. You make that team a contender.
Another good question by me. All right, so we'll pick up the other seven after the update again. There's breaking Patriots news. We give it to you here, and we pick this up on the other.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
All right, picking up 10 questions with Bedard around the league. We had to cut into the last segment because of the Michael Bennett news, but let's get back at it. Jimmy, hit me a buzzer, please.
I'm comfortable in suckitude.
Number 7, the Chargers attempted to rickroll Steeler fans at that soccer stadium last week. You know what that means? Like, I've read about it. Now, I do know.
I had to ask someone about it today.
Me too. I read
Google
about
it.
So Rickroll is you play one song and then in the middle of it, you go to this other corny 80s song?
Yeah. Yeah. It's
Rick Astley.
Yeah, Rick Astley. Never gonna give you up. Never gonna set you down. Never gonna hug you up and hurt you. I don't know the lyrics, but you know which one I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's
right?
Pretty good. Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, you got it. Okay, so they attempted to do this with the Steeler fans at that soccer stadium.
You. Yeah, that's it.
In L.A., except when they played Renegade to start the whole Rick Rolling process, the Steeler fans took over the stadium and went nuts, and it pissed off all the Chargers players, and it blew up in their face. It didn't work. Hardy, kiss my ass. The this is all a long way of asking. Do the Chargers belong in L.A.? And if not, where should they be?
Absolutely not. And if they can't go to back to San Diego, which they should be because that market is awesome and their fans are awesome, I would go to Portland. It's number 22 TV market. It's bigger than San Diego. And that would be a great place. The NFL would flourish there.
Look, as far as I'm concerned, they never left San Diego. So it's no in L.A., go back to San Diego, end of story.
Yeah, literally the same answer as Bedard. If you can't go back to San Diego, which they can't, put them in Portland.
F San Diego. Screw San Diego. One horse, two-bit town, whale's vagina. I say the same thing about that town every single time. No use for that town. Does not deserve an NFL team. Stay in L.A. They deserve two teams. Of course no one cares about them now. Why would they? They just got there. Give it time. People will not care in 30 years, too. It's L.A. They don't care about anything.
You're going to ride or die with this terrible take, huh?
I am, but that town deserves two teams.
It is a terrible take.
Next.
Felger, you took it out of my mouth.
Okay, and then we'll put it right back in later on. Among the worst, most gross, among the worst, most gross fans in the league, where do Jets fans rank? In other words, let's do this. Give me the five grossest fan bases in the NFL.
Okay. I have
the five worst.
I have number the Jets are number one. They are. I mean, yeah, I spent a lot of time in the Meadowlands and things like that at Rutgers, and not fun. The Bills, Eagles. I put Atlanta number four just because of apathy. And then the Bengals fans because those poor saps, they're never going to have a winner ever, and they keep coming. The Brown family is never going to give you a winner. What are you doing?
Raiders, Bills, Eagles, Steelers, Browns. I'd put the Jets somewhere in the 2 or 3 area, somewhere in there. To me, the Raiders are the worst. That freak show, that's a freak show.
Again, you're just looking for disgusting pigs, right?
Well, you know what?
This is what that's what I'm going with. Disgusting pigs.
If I asked that question, I'd get yelled at.
Go.
Buffalo's number one. I mean, they light themselves on fire and have public sex. Number two is Philadelphia. Number three is Cleveland. Number four is Oakland. Five is your Green Bay Packers. Just look at the fatsos in that stadium last night. There isn't anyone that's attractive there. The Jets are sixth.
Oh, we're ugly. We're overweight and ugly, but we're not mean-spirited. And that was really the question. But either way, worst fan bases in the league. That's just, I'm not going gross, ugly, whatever. Worst fan bases in the league. I'm going to start at number two. Number two is Philly. Number three is Pittsburgh. Number four is the Jets. Number five is Buffalo. And don't worry about number one. You know who it is. Next.
Jared Goff has made 42 bad throws this season. Most of any QB this season. He sucks and blows. Mike.
Number five, tool bag question. Who is currently the biggest tool bag head coach in the NFL?
Mike Tomlin. He's terrible. He's better than Jason Garrett.
Is he a tool bag?
Yes. What? I have to go through the whole litany of things? It's not just, okay, we already know his history.
Tripping
people, his stupid speeches after games, pumping people up. He doesn't coach during games. What else do you want?
Tool bag.
Please. This one begins and ends with Freddie Kittens. Freddie Kittens is the biggest tool bag coach in the league. It's not even close.
Yeah, it's Freddie Kittens. It's like having a high school janitor being the head coach of your team.
Totally. Next.
Tom Brady.
Tom. Who is your favorite New York Jet of all time? You must pick one.
Wesley Walker.
I can't believe you just said that.
I loved him.
That's my guy.
Him and Al Toon.
So, look, like there are more modern ones that I love, but Wesley Walker, I loved him when he was with the Jets. He used to kill the Patriots. They couldn't cover him. It was like every game, cover Wesley Walker because he catches like 8 balls for 140 yards and 2 touchdowns every time they play. They never covered him, ever.
I think that was before my time because there was a guy that did that in the 90s, Mr. Third Down, Wayne Krabet. He was Wes Welker before Wes Welker, Edelman before Edelman. I loved Wayne Krabet.
Only one answer here.
Curtis Martin.
Revis. Revis Island, in his prime, he was a bad man. Next.
We're going to start, you know, just roading, plowing you. I sounded like Pete Carroll right there.
That's just my favorite of all time. Bedard, your thoughts on Bill O'Brien going for it on 4th-and-3 instead of kicking a 45-yard field goal to salt the game away in Kansas City?
I love it. His kicker stinks. And you miss there. You turn it over at, like, midfield, basically. And just, he felt better about his offense. Just go for it. Go for the win. I mean, you talk about people coaching scared. He went for it, got it. What are you criticizing him for?
Loved it, loved it, loved it.
Loved it. It was a great call.
Wrong call. Kicking the field goal is going for the win too, big boy. What are you talking about?
Not 45 yards with that Fairbairn, whatever his name is. He stinks.
Your advanced
He missed an extra point earlier in the game.
Your advanced and a nerds, field goal. All the people that you put your stock in said that there was a 70%+ chance that Fairbairn made that kick and only a 60% chance that they converted on third downs. He did not play the odds. It was the wrong call. My opinion. Next.
If I'm the players, I pound it every chance I get.
Love it. Greg, please rank the NFL quarterbacks until you get to Jimmy Garoppolo. Okay, so where does he rank in the league? Tell me who you have ahead of him.
Mahomes, Wilson, Brady, Breeze, Rivers, Ben, Watson, Garoppolo.
Watson, so he is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, he's 8th. Yep. You have him 8th in the league. So again, just to reset, Kirk Cousins or Jimmy Garoppolo?
Jimmy.
Prescott or Jimmy Garoppolo?
Jimmy.
Stafford or Jimmy Garoppolo?
Jimmy.
Okay. 8th in the league, Mass.
Wilson, Garoppolo.
Headset.
No, okay, I'm exaggerating. Do it for real. I'm exaggerating. So I did it for effect. My list is not dissimilar from Greg's. And by the way, I don't have Breeze on it just because he's not playing right now, but he would also be ahead of Garoppolo. Mine were Mahomes, Wilson, Rodgers, Brady, Wentz, and then Garoppolo.
So 5th or 6th?
Yep, 6th.
Holy crap. Murray?
Sorry, I left Rodgers.
He's 11th. Russell Wilson, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Deshaun Watson, Carson Wentz, Matt Stafford, Derek Carr, Matt Ryan.
Derek Carr?
Then Jimmy Garoppolo. Look at his completion percentage. Derek Carr is better than Jimmy Garoppolo.
Derek Carr and Matt Ryan?
Yeah. Matt Ryan's Jimmy completion Garoppolo. Percentage also better than the sidecar.
Okay. He's in. I have him in the 5 to 10 range right now. Last one.
I'm comfortable in suckitude.
Okay, only two non-expansion NFL teams have never made a Super Bowl. But even this is, I had this a little wrong. The only four teams never to make a Super Bowl are the Jaguars, the Houston Texans, the Browns, and the Lions. Those are the only four teams not to make the Super Bowl. But the Browns are an expansion team too. Because the original Browns
are the Ravens.
Right.
Who are the Ravens, and Hardy kiss my ass. So the Lions are really the only old school NFL team to never make the Super Bowl. But I'll ask this question anyway. If you could be a fan of, if you had to be a fan of either the Browns or the Lions, and you had to hitch your wagon to that sorry franchise, either one, which one would you pick?
I would pick the Browns, A, because I like the city better than Detroit, and B, I like that they have an outdoor stadium and things like that and some history. The Lions just stink. They've always stunk.
Detroit, way better place to live. Way better place than Cleveland.
What?
I'll
really?
Take Detroit. Yeah, Detroit's underrated. And great suburbs, Michigan, I like. You got a good college team there on top of it. I can always hook my wagon to them. Like, definitely Detroit.
Yeah, Detroit. Better food, better city. I like it. It's on the come. If you haven't been recently, it's actually a pretty decent place.
I'm talking about where you want to live, what franchise you want to hitch your wagon to.
Let me finish.
It factors in, Felger. Settle down.
I loved Barry Sanders. I still watch old clips of Dick Night Train Lane, clothes like the line of people on YouTube, and they have a great uniform.
You have some life there. Murray.
I do not.
I'm with Bedard. Outdoor stadium, better history, Cleveland, all the way. Thus concludes 10 questions. Your calls, and we say goodbye to Bedard in our long commercial-free segment next.
Andrew Friedman is terrible. We never wanted him.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Boston's home for sports.
Tom Brady said this morning he really appreciated, and that was getting the ball, game ball. And obviously there were a couple of historic milestones that Tom achieved on Thursday night. What went into the decision, if you care to share, about giving Tom the game ball that night?
Yeah, well, I mean, Tom breaks a record every week, so, you know, we could really probably give him a game ball, you know, after every game. But I think this one's, I mean, what he's accomplished in terms of total career passing yards, pretty noteworthy. And I thought he played well in the game. You know, we offensively had to kind of keep it together here with you know, some limitations in the second half. I thought he showed a lot of leadership and toughness and just passing ability and accuracy that, you know, helped us win the game.
Quick thought there. Belichick going out of his way. Brady doesn't get many game balls, apparently. Got one for passing Manning for second on the list, not even first. And then Bill throws him some love there in the conference call on Monday. Any conspiracy theories there?
Yes. Yeah, I told you, but I saw this yesterday. To me, this was Bill acknowledging that the circumstances at the end of that game were unusual. And that, you know, dare I say, for a quarterback, cruel and unusual that he's left with, you know, a bare bones operation. And so it was Bill's way of saying, Tom, thanks for sucking it up. Thanks for sucking it up. Because Bill doesn't give a rat's ass about yards. How many times has he said that?
Who cares?
I mean, you know, again, it was, I remember the comment he made when Brady set the record for most wins by a quarterback, or when he gets to whatever it was. There was some milestone Brady reached, and Belichick said something to the effect of, well, look, at the end of the day, what's more important than that? It's the whole reason we play. And so for him to talk about the yardage record being significant, I think was borderline disingenuous of Bill. What he was doing was going out of his way to make sure that he gave Brady his props for sticking it out, sneaking when he had to sneak, and doing what he had to do to win the game. That's what I think.
Greg, do you think Brady is, and maybe others are unhappy on offense with what they've been left with personnel-wise?
Yeah, I think they're, you know, a little irritated, but there is some hope that, you know, reinforcements are coming at some point. I mean, I don't know.
Do they have a case? You know, I mean, again, Chris Gasper, the I think the chairman of the Boohoo Brady crew.
Chief.
Says receiver situation has been mismanaged by the team, and takes on the team for their building of the roster. And if Chris is tuned in and tapped into the Brady camp, as I think that he is, could he be speaking for the Brady camp on that one? So again, I'm sort of cut you off, but do you think Brady or McDaniels are unhappy with what they've been left with roster wise, and do they have a case?
Of course they do. I mean, yeah, I think they, you know, they look at what's going on the defensive side and they, you know, hey, spread it around a little bit. But Bill, look, and this is sort of like, I remember when they traded Jamie Collins. I mean, I wrote a column saying, like, you know, Bill better be right about this. And he was. Bill obviously thinks this is the way in today's NFL to win a Super Bowl. And you could make the argument that this is where they were at the end of last year, because it's basically the same defense. And we talked about it going in the playoffs. I said, I feel better about the defense than I do about the offense. I mean, the offense scored what? 13 points, barely. They had 3 points into the, what, middle of the fourth quarter in the Super Bowl last year. So Bill saw that and said, we're going to win on defense. And that's what he is gambling on. And based off of last year, he's probably going to be right again. But that's what he's doing. And if McDaniels and Brady don't like it, they can go kick rocks.
I also think it's less of a broad sort of masterstroke than it is. It's just sort of the way the roster trended.
Yes.
In other words, I mean, the last 3 first round picks have been on offense. Wynn, Michelle, N'Keal Harry, right? Do I have that wrong?
No, I think that's right.
Aren't those last 3 first round picks? So, I mean, he's trying to build. He's just swinging and missing is what he's doing, but he was trying. He tried to get the best receiver in the league in Antonio Brown.
Yeah, but they've also spent a truckload of money on the defense. I mean,
sure.
These are all veterans who have been, you look, I'm just trying to think off the top of my head. I mean, like Jonathan Jones is basically like, sort of like the youngest guy that really plays a lot on defense. Everybody else is veteran, has been in the system for multiple years where, you know, on the offensive side of the ball, it's all, you know, outside of Edelman and Brady, it's all a bunch of new people. Basically, I mean, Josh Gordon is a trash heap guy.
Okay, so he is, but again, he's expending draft capital there, and they put their money where their mouth is with that. I mean, I just think part of it's circumstantial that it's gone to defense. I mean, I think he had it in his mind that Brady was going to be a 42-year-old quarterback declining a little bit, so we're going to beef up the running game and the defense. Like, I think broadly speaking, that's true, but they did not mean for it to be this imbalanced. Like, that was not part of the master plan.
Sorry, no, look at it. Wasn't. I don't think he wanted the offense to be what it is. There's no way he did. But, like, I also look at the contracts. Hightower and McCourty weren't renegotiated. I mean, like, he backed off of those. So he clearly decided he wasn't going to mess with that side of the ball on any level. Meanwhile, Brady a year ago gets incentives, for crying out loud. Those other two guys go untouched. Like, I don't know. How many guys make it to the end of a five-year deal the way McCourty has?
I know, rare. Oh,
never happens in that league.
In the previous Patriots experience, guys like Hightower and McCourty would have been restructured, haircuts, trimmed down, or gone. Because all those guys had to do it. All of them had to take haircuts, or they were gone. And if you refused, you were Ty Law and you went somewhere else. But so it's a little bit different, and it's true. So I just don't think it's as stark as, this is how you win, now it's on defense. Bill's tried to put pieces together on offense. They just haven't worked for him. Give me 1 minute here on the New York Jets. Are we going to have a ball game this week, Greg?
I think we will. I mean, Sam Darnold makes all the difference. He's a good young quarterback. Certainly, I mean, over Luke Falk, it's not like the Patriots were, you know, gangbusters in that game, if I can remember correctly. But Jamal Adams is a bad man in that secondary. They have some really good players up front. Good Jamal time. Adams might be the best young strong safety in the game. The Patriots are not blocking well. Yeah, I think they're going to have a game. You know, it's all going to be on can Darnold take care of the ball. I don't think he will enough, but I think they're going to be spunky for a while.
So do you think there's some carryover there? The Jets actually, after the first three drives, played decent defense against the Patriots in the second half.
Oh, absolutely. The Patriots scored, I think, on the first three drives, and then after that, the Patriots did nothing. They finally adjusted and settled down, and they were shorthanded in that game defensively. I think they've gotten some guys back. And so, yeah, I think what they're doing in New York gives the Patriots a little bit of problems. But then again, the Patriots are just having problems in general on offense right now. And I don't think the Jets are really a team that you get healthy against offensively.
Josh Gordon's going to be out for a while, you think?
Yeah, I think he's going to be out a minimum 2 to 4 weeks. That looked like a MCL sprain, high ankle sprain. He stayed on the sideline, but that's the type of thing the next day he was probably all swollen and sore. So I would be very surprised if he's out there anytime soon.
Okay, big boy. Thanks for coming in. We appreciate it. I'm just grabbing your, what do you call this mess?
Plushie.
A plushie. Our big boy plushie. He does. He bears a striking resemblance.
Oh, no, he looks just like him.
He really does.
And that's the miniature version.
Yeah, no, that's the little one. That's the little guy.
I mean, if we get the full-size plushie, the Bedard side plushie, my gosh, you would sit him right in that chair. He looked just like him.
All right, Bedard.
Just get him some checkered overalls, and we're good to go.
Thanks for coming in. We appreciate
it. See you guys.
Okay, Michael Bennett, suspended on the list. All this stuff with what we've just been discussing. On the table, the refereeing situation in the league, the scourge of the NFL officiating situation on the table. I promise, write your calls after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.